Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. I'm William English, and today's guest is DJ Hybridist, in brackets, Sandra Cross. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Hello, William. Thanks for having me again.
That's all right. Thank you very much for coming in. And today we're going to continue with a sort of survey of Laura Nyro, singer-songwriter.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And immediately, of course, it's Laura Nyro, isn't it?
Yes, I can't get used to it either. I'm still saying Nyro.
Yeah.
It seems easier. Well, I suppose it's habit now.
Well, it's when you see the NY, it just seems natural to say Laura Nyro.
Yeah.
So we've had two programmes of Laura Nyro tracks.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago now. We've had a bit of a gap in between.
Yeah.
Perhaps, how did we end up on the last one?
Well, the last programme we finished off with Christmas and the Beads of Sweat.
Okay, which is a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? Because it's not exactly a Christmas album as such.
No, it's not a Christmas album. I don't know why it's called that, but I suppose there must be a reason. You can tell, it's of no concern to me. I'm just interested in the music.
The sound. So, and today we're going to get through as many tracks as possible.
We are going to, yes. If I could just say that, obviously, as we've talked over this series of very nice programmes that you've... presented. I realised there were a few gaps. You know, you'd ask me questions and I wouldn't have the answers to them. So I did go looking for one or two things. For instance, we did at one stage talk about the idea of interviews that had been done on Laura Nyro. And on a separate matter, I was looking because I was somewhat not exactly upset, but there seemed to be very little commentary around Jack Bruce's death and very little appraisal. And so that led me back to somebody that I seem to go back to a bit, and it's also twinned with this idea of him having reintroduced me to the idea of Laura Nyro, and that's Richard Williams. So I googled his name and Jack Bruce's name and came up with Richard Williams's blog, which is a very good blog called The Blue Moment. He's an excellent writer on very many subjects, but music I think is his main subject. He used to edit The Melody Maker, he's written for The Times and so on. And it seems that he did write about Laura Nyro. He did an interview with her many, many years ago in 1971, but I couldn't access that via his blog. But I did track it down, and it was produced in The Times, as I say, in 1971. But in order to acquire it, you have to pay the toll charge, and it's sort of £55 for 3 months and so on. So unfortunately, I didn't get it. But anybody else who happens to be listening, who would like to know more, I would recommend that, because he is an extremely good writer. He's written books on, you know, all sorts of people.
Does he write about football as well?
He writes about football and motor racing. Currently, according to his blog, he's taken a 3-year residency as somebody very instrumental in the Berlin Jazz Festival. So the music element goes on and on and on.
I mean, his piece about Jack Bruce was very unusual in that it actually singled out he talked about sort of a jazz band that Jack Bruce had played with that I'd never heard of before.
Yes.
Was it something like Johnny Birch or something?
I can't remember who it was, but I mean, I think that's also what I'm saying about his writing, is you can rely on him knowing having facts that somehow escape other people.
Because they're actually things that he went to personally.
Well, not just that, but he does have a very extensive knowledge, and
Richard Williams has done an interview with Laura Nyro.
You have to pay. You go to The Times rock blog something, and it comes up via The Times in 1971, all that time ago.
Yeah.
It's Rock's Back Pages, and then via The Times archive.
Yeah.
So that was that. So, yes, where we left off with Christmas and the Beads of Sweat, and that was 1970. And as with all of these things, one has to make a choice about where to go next. Mm. I thought there'd be more chronology from 1970 in the middle, and I had thought that we would play Live at Carnegie Hall, but that was before I heard Live at the Bottom Line, which just knocks the Carnegie Hall thing out of the arena altogether, because the Bottom Line one is just the musicians are brilliant, and the set builds to a phenomenal level of exuberance and actually ecstasy, and until she has the audience in the palm of her hand. And presumably it's a much smaller venue than Carnegie Hall, and for all sorts of reasons, and it's the set itself. So that's what we're starting with today.
And the Bottom Line is a club in New York regularly returns.
Yeah, I think she had a spot there. Christmas Eve, my God, can you imagine hearing that? Yeah. It must have been amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully any listeners will get the flavour of that when we play this. This is the first one we're playing today, and it's called Laura Nyro, Live at the Bottom Line, and it's from 1989.
Dedicated to animals and the animal rights movement.
Leave the applause in.
Oh, yes, I think the applause is absolutely essential. It really takes you to that place.
Okay.
But that's you know, we talked before about, I'm not particularly interested in the animal songs, but that is a really great animal song. It's political, the lyrics are just fantastic, playful and earnest at the same time, you know. Talking about baby seals and the wolfers game and, you know, just the whole thing.
Mm.
And it starts with dinner in the kitchen, delicious to eat. You know, so you've always got that playful thing with her.
Yeah.
As well as a more serious element.
Right.
And, of course, you've got that funky backing, which you can't.
Absolutely.
Do you want to read out the musicians?
Shall I have a look?
Yeah.
Okay. This is one of those slightly awkward CDs where the track listing doesn't exactly correspond with the...
It was only that first track for some reason.
It's only the first one that's wrong.
Yeah.
So
the musicians are over there.
Musicians, okay. Voice and keyboards, Laura Nero. Guitar, harmony and electric mandolin, Jimmy Vivino. Drums and harmony, Frank Pagano. Bass, David Wofford. Percussion, Nydia Liberty Matta. And harmony, Diane Wilson. And this was recorded live at the Bottom Line, New York City, in summer 1988. All songs written by Laura Nero, except for High Heel Sneakers by Robert Higginbottom. There's several that aren't by her, but we don't need to go through those yet.
I think the ones that we're actually playing today are the ones which are written by her.
Oh, fine.
So the next one, track 6, is called To a Child.
Yeah. Do you want to go? Should we go straight into track 6?
Yeah.
Fine.
What is life? Did you read about it in a magazine? Silent lies never give you what you need. Is there hope for a mother and an elf on speed? Kiss the sun, hello, child in the park. Make your life a loving thing. I'm so tired, you're so wired, and I'm a poet without a poem. You are my child. I read about us in a magazine. Then why are we crying by the washing machine? Let's run away, child, and follow a dream. Kiss the sun, hello, child in the park. And you are my song, my lovely song. What is love? Child, I'm here to stand by you, and you will find your own way, hard and true, and I'll find mine. 'Cause I'm growing.
Song.
Yes.
And before that was To a Child.
Yep.
So these are all tracks from Laura Nero Live at the Bottom Line, recorded in 1988. The harmonies, anything? Harmonies provided there by Frank Pagano and Diane Wilson.
Yeah.
Those harmonies are quite a sort of signature of her
songs, totally, aren't they? Yes. As we said before, you know, she always returns to that. That's her background. That's what she grew up listening to and would first have been singing herself in that, I don't know, is it called two-part harmony?
That was three-part.
But yeah.
I remember, I've dipped into that book, which we mentioned last time, by, is it Michelle or Michaela? I can't remember.
Michelle
Court, the Music and Passion of Laura Nero.
Yeah.
And I remember in that book somewhere, I haven't read it thoroughly, but there was a reference to, I think, one of the first records that influenced her was the Everly Brothers. Was it Bye Bye Love?
Well, hopefully it's going to be the surprise on the Angel in the Dark. We will be hearing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what she does? She does that number. So it's no longer a surprise. I've blown the...
Well, it's not the one you said.
But
but the Everly Brothers have got something to do with it.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So it's just as well.
Yeah.
Possibly a good thing.
Anyway, I chose those two because they seem quite untypical in a way.
Yeah.
They're much quieter and more reflective,
right.
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Should we go into the next one? Broken Rainbow, which is apparently it was written for a documentary, but as usual, I couldn't find any reference to it, but...
Right. Okay. So that should follow straight on after Park Song.
Yeah.
Which
number nine?
Which is number nine, actually. Right. Okay. Nearly blew it there. Okay. Let's take it away.
Broken
pleasure of writing this next song for a documentary called Broken Rainbow. The old people of the earth tell stories. An old woman of the old ways, she said, I recall all my joy and better days. The young warriors of the open rainbow said, tell me, is it true? Tell me, do some live out of beds and rents in the cities too? Is it true? At the edge where I very edge where I live, home sweet home America, the earth ones there said our religion is in these lands and skies. You know we were the first, believe me, we will be the last to keep the light for the earth. At the edge where I live, won't you come over to the very edge? Sweet home America, Native American nation, caught in the devastation, endless situation. What can I do? Ghost of prejudice cuts through the moon glow. Poet on a crying page, broken rainbow. Broken rainbow. Home sweet home America.
From the mothers of the moon. Good night, children. We are dancers, sweepers, bookkeepers. We'll take you to the movies. Off a walk, a tall snow, the rain with sun star, women of the one. Remember, sweepers, bookkeepers, we take you to the moon.
Okay, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with today's guest, DJ Hybridist, who is completing her trilogy of programmes about Laura Nero. That track was called Women of the One World. A lot of these tracks are quite political, aren't they? They're quite socially motivated,
yes,
shall we say.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. And I think that's probably, you know, how she lived her life in a sort of quiet way. You know.
Yeah.
Just integrating her feelings into the songs and disseminating a message, you know.
Right.
I mean, but it doesn't sound like a message.
No, exactly.
You know, you have to crane to get the words and so on, and that becomes a bonus that they are political.
I think, I mean, again, dipping briefly into that book, it sounds like there was a bit of trouble getting this album released almost. I mean, she had trouble, I think, getting the record company, because it was a live album, and a lot of people were more, they expected her to do a studio album.
Well, I think that also there's a lot of, you know, talk about, you know, how people need to be money spinners, you know, a bit like being in Hollywood and so on. You've got to have money riding on your head, haven't you, before people will back you and so on. So I think that certainly becomes apparent in the final CD that actually was produced posthumously.
Was it? No, I didn't know that.
It wasn't produced until 2001. She died in 1997.
Oh, right.
And the recordings, we shouldn't say too much about that now, but the recordings themselves were done in the 90s. But it only came to be at all because she and another woman, a friend of hers, this other woman, proposed that they create their own label.
So that's the album we're moving towards, which is Angel in the Dark.
That's right, yes.
But we've got one more track left to play is from... Live at the Bottom Line, which was her sort of favoured venue in New York City. So this is, what is this one? The Japanese restaurant song,
that's
possibly.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You may find this next song a little strange. I guess you could say it's about family life. Takes place in a Japanese restaurant. We went to a Japanese restaurant. The dogs, the kids, and me. Lose my cares in a cup of plum wine and salads from the sea. We drinked into the calm little room. Paper walls. Mom was wearing her rose kimono. She was waiting for the fall. Children not exactly well behaved. I said, well, you can't have it all. And really, who cares when the magic plum wine is dancing on the paper walls? Then your lover shows up, puts a sweet hello on your lips. Till everyone runs in for the king. ship surrendered and I became a geisha. I moved through the mystery, dark and content, with a radical feminist bent.
That's called the Japanese restaurant song.
Yes, and even she said she thought it was a bit strange. but it's great, you know, the way she says, we went to a Japanese restaurant, the dogs, the kids and me, lose my cares in a cup of plum wine and salads from the sea. And it goes on and on and on, talking about, you know, how they've seen another wretched continental black and white movie.
Oh, really? Okay.
And this is the routine to go to this place afterwards.
She refers to a radical feminist band,
yeah,
I think, in there.
Bent.
Bent?
With a radical feminist bent.
Oh, sorry.
Dark and content with a radical feminist bent.
I see. I thought she said band.
No,
her band was a
radical.
No,
not at all.
Okay.
But for me, this has got everything that she was. You know, it's humorous, it's humane, it's soulful, it's ironic, and it's political.
Right.
So moving
on to
the next one. Yeah, quickly.
Leap into a different album.
Yeah, which
just
is
one track from
this,
I think.
Yeah, this is just one track from this, which is the Laura Nyro with the... Oh, Walk the Dog and Light the Light. And I've chosen this one because this is about women as well. And it's called Louise's Church, and it's apparently about the artist Louise Neverson, Billie Holiday, Frida Kahlo, and what she describes as all kick-ass women artists.
I wrote this song for Louise Neverson, the sculptor, also Billie Holiday, and a group of kick-ass women artists. I'm going by Louisiana.
that was a studio album. What was that track?
That was track 6 called Louise's Church.
Louise's Church, which sort of is a sort of eulogy to various women artists, I think.
Mostly to Louise Nevison.
Right.
And then she mentioned Sappho and other women.
Right.
Billie Holiday, Frida Kahlo.
So now we are moving towards the last phase.
This is the final album.
Angel in the Dark.
Yeah.
As you said, issued posthumously.
Yeah.
In what, 2001 or something?
Yeah.
This is on the Rounder label.
Okay.
Okay. So what should we? Is this the one that was? You were led to this by Richard Williams?
That's right. Yes, it was his review that. That struck a chord with me and made me interested in her.
Right.
Having known a bit about her previously, but not very much, it really whetted my appetite. There's a little bit here that he says, Angel in the Dark is just about everything her fans could wish for. Almost an hour's worth of original songs and covers of old favourites, of voice and piano performances, and pieces accompanied by a small band of crack musicians, including the drummer Bernard Pretty Purdy, the guitarist John Trapea, and the Brecker brothers, Randy and Michael, on trumpet and tenor saxophone. Hmm. It finds Nairo fully engaged with life and love of all kinds.
All right. So, and this first track is actually the title track.
That's
this
right,
is
yes.
Called, so, Angel in the Dark.
Yeah.
listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is the third part of DJ Hybridist's eulogy to Laura Nero, and we're sort of moving into the final phase. These are all tracks from the last album, Angel in the Dark.
Yeah, and that was, as you said, the title track, which I love because it's got this amazing call and response. You know, it's what I would love to hear in church. That that feeling that she invokes is just incredible. In fact, I realise now that that's the only original track that I've chosen on this entire album. All of the others are covers, but I suppose that's really where she started, and this is...
Was it a planned album? Was it something she had planned to release, or was it people have put together tracks after she died?
I think it's both. I think there was a plan, and people urged her to do recordings, and then these obviously the recordings were done, and nothing happened to them. And then after she died, but I don't know to what degree she had any control over. Presumably, you know, her son has the estate.
Right. So this one is a classic track, isn't it? Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?
Yeah.
By Carole King and Jerry Goffin.
Yeah.
First
sung by the Shirelles in 1960, and Laura Nero's interpretation, hardly dare say it now, has something of the is slightly imbued with experience. Whereas the Shirelles is just a, you know, it's about, well, I don't know how to say it really, but...
She brings something different to it.
Yes, no, it's just that when they sing it, they're singing about having done something that possibly they're regretting because they're young and they don't know... So they've had a sexual encounter with somebody, but because of the time and place in 1960 and so on, they would have been regarded as, you know, possibly regarded not too well as a result of that. But time's changed, and now when she sings it, she's giving it something. Her life's experience, she's giving it.
Tell me now, and I want it. the day I found you. I want to stay around you. Now in for all.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with DJ Hybridist and her eulogy to Laura Nero. And we are once again rapidly moving towards the end.
I know, we have to hurtle into the next one. We must play this next one. But you could cut it off a bit, and if we could finish with Coda, that would be
Coda,
great.
Coda, yeah. Is a short one. But this next one is the one, the surprise track, which, well, it's not such a surprise, but earlier we mentioned the Everly Brothers. Or was that the last one? That's the last one.
That's the one we just heard, was
exactly.
The Everly Brothers one.
Oh, right. So what is this next one?
So the next one is Ooh Baby Baby, written by Smokey Robinson.
Right.
Which, once again, going back to Richard Williams, I mean, a lot of people think Smokey Robinson, well, Bob Dylan described him as America's greatest living poet. Richard Williams describes this song as ineffable,
right.
Which apparently means it's too great or extreme to be expressed in words.
La 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 la. Come back to me, come back.